like go away, so I preach on a particular topic. But if you are interested, then you can find your resources, I think, and to try to listen to that sermon again. And today, I'm going to preach on the topic self-discipline, or self itself. So if you still remember, in the opening verses of the book of Proverbs, it's actually spells out the purpose of the book. And in chapter 1, verse 6, it says one of the major purposes of the book of Proverbs is to let the readers to understand proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. Riddles. So the question is, are there any riddles in the book of Proverbs? Okay, so any riddles at all? And let me tell you, actually there is. So this is the question. And let's think about it and to see if you know the answer, okay? So who has woe, who has sorrow, who has strife, who has complaints, who has needless bruises, who has bloodshot eyes? Who know the answer? A particular type of people. No clue? Now, actually, it's easy because if you follow the context, then you know the answer, right? So I know it's somehow small, okay? So here goes the answer, okay? Those who linger over wine, who go to sample bowls of mixed wine, do not gaze at wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. In the end, it bites like a snake and poisons like a viper. Your eyes will see strange sights, and your mind will imagine confusing things. You will be like one sleeping on the high seas, lying on top of the rigging. They hit me, you will say, but I'm not hurt. They beat me, but I don't feel it. When will I wake up so I can find another drink? So that's the last word from the drunk. Okay, so this is a typical portrayal of a drunk. So let me ask you one question. Okay, is drinking alcohol a problem for Christians? Anyone? So let's be honest to each other. Okay, who drink like a beer or red wine once in a while? Okay, including myself. Okay. Then you guys are having a break problem. No. So, as you should know, for example, from the New Testament, Paul says in Ephesians 5:18, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. So it seems like drinking alcohol per se is not the source of the problem, or it's not the problem, but getting drunk is the problem. Of course, if you get drunk easily, then probably it's better for you to avoid alcohol altogether, right? So so what's wrong with getting drunk? I have searched the internet, and also I've heard things from my friends. And there are a few things that I know when people did when they got drunk. I was told that someone wrote all over his body in permanent marker, okay, while he was drunk, okay? And of course, it take hours or days to wash it off. But that's not a huge issue. Maybe you think it's funny or so. But let me tell you, about 2 years ago, in 2011, two biochemical sciences students who were studying Spanish and math had finished their first year exams at the University of Sheffield. After they had spent the afternoon drinking, because they were so happy, so relaxed, so they spent the whole afternoon drinking, and they decided, I don't know what was in their mind, but they decided to put the front part of the TV monitor in the electric oven in the kitchen of their dorm. And luckily, well, it of course, fire broke out, and luckily no one was hurt, but they were eventually put in jail for 2 years because of their stupidity, which was actually caused by their drunkenness. And that's a real story. I didn't make it up, okay? So if you search like sort of keywords like this, University of Sheffield, burning television, something like that, then you will get the news, okay? So it's dangerous to get drunk. And it's and of course, Ephesians actually tells us explicitly that it's wrong. It's a sin to get drunk. So we should remember that. And let's go back to the book of Proverbs and talk a little bit about alcohol. And well, believe it or not, there are quite a bit on this topic in the book of Proverbs. Okay, wine is a mocker and beer a bard. Whoever is led astray by them is not wise. And another one, whoever loves pleasure will become poor. Whoever loves wine and olive oil will never be rich. So again, if you want to ask the problem, is alcohol a problem at all? Well, I think the safest answer is alcohol is not so-called a problem, but alcoholism is. For example, if you see from chapter 9, wisdom, okay, has built her house and she has set up its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine too, and she has had also set her table. So in the book of Proverbs, wine itself is not does not have a negative connotation at all, but excessive drinking is the problem. And if you can see, even from the Old Testament, in the early churches, when they partake the Holy Communion, they use real wine, okay? And nowadays, we use grape juice, right? So, and as you can see, due to the culture, or you can see actually alcohol, we shouldn't take it as evil or as a source of problem. And we should take a look, for example, going back to the previous verses, we know that getting drunk is the problem. And now, what it means is not wine or beer is the source of problem, but having excessive drinking is the problem. So excessive drinking leads one astray and leads to poverty. And so, if you are an alcoholic, well, let me be honest with you, seek help. Because I have known Christians who are also alcoholic, okay? And it causes serious problem. And the book of Proverbs is not kidding here. So alcoholism actually will actually break the whole family. And also it will cause you poverty, and also it will lead you astray. So let's go to today's scriptural passage from the last chapter of Proverbs. Since I've talked quite a bit about sex and women in the past 2 months, so let me skip the first few verses. If you want to take a look, and you can open your Bible, and the first few verses talk about like have self-discipline of self-control on women, and actually the mother of the king is talking to the king. And this is the second part. It's about drinking alcohol. It's not for kings, Nimiel, and it's not for kings to drink wine, not for rulers to crave beer, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and deprive all the oppressed of their rights. And the last two verses actually has a tone of irony, so don't take it too seriously. And this is how the mother of the king tried to teach his son. Let beer be Let beer be for those who are perishing, wine for those who are in anguish. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. So if you take the last two verses seriously, then you'll think if you are poor and if you are sad, then you can just drink beer and wine and forget everything. That's totally not Proverbs. It's teaching you, okay? So in a sense, the mother of the king is saying, okay, dear son, dear king, don't drink too much alcohol. Don't be possessed by alcohol, not wine, not beer. Otherwise, you cannot judge properly. And rather, give those beers to them, because since you judge poorly, so they are sad and they are perishing. So give your beer instead to them and help them out a bit in an ironic tone. Do you get what I'm saying? So verses 6 and 7 is not something that you need to like put in your bedroom as something that you need to memorize when you are sad and when you are sick, then you just drink beer and wine like crazily. So from these verses, we know that excessive drinking causes poor judgment. And let me tell you, there's a very important rule actually in Canada, and especially during Christmas time or long weekend, Thanksgiving, and actually just four words, okay? Don't drink and drive, okay? Maybe you will feel it sounds like funny on a Sunday morning, like in the church, and your preacher is telling you don't drink and drive. It seems like that's something the government should tell you. But I think it's important for, especially for most of you are young people, and if you are under 80, you are young people. So but remember that actually drinking and driving is deadly. A recent study conducted in Canada shows that motor vehicle crashes are the leading cause of death among 15 to 25 years old. Okay. And alcohol is the factor in 50% of those crashes. And it's real. Okay? So don't dare to try. Don't think that you can handle it. Most people who are involved in fatal accidents fought that way too. So I think that's enough for alcohol, right? For wine and beer, because I still have other things to talk about. But in general, the book of Proverbs warns again, like partaking excessive stuff. For example, in Proverbs 25:16, it says, if you find honey, which is good, right? Eat just enough, too much of it, and you will vomit. Okay, so that's somehow the general rule. So even for good stuff, okay, you just take enough amount. Don't overdo it. Otherwise, you will harm yourself. And this is probably even like a bigger principle in this topic. Like a city whose walls are broken through is the person who lacks self-control. So the metaphor is like a city without walls, meaning you have no defense system and everyone can get in and everyone can attack you. So and you just lose control of yourself. So the book of Proverbs actually talks about self-control and or self-discipline, and this is a serious business. So how about having some healthy hobbies? So will you be overly obsessed by those hobbies? For example, if you like golfing, fishing, what else? Playing hockey, I don't know. So, like these hobbies, is it okay for you to do and you love and you just go doing it like weeks after weeks or months after months? Is it okay for you to have healthy hobbies? Of course, I can't find any scriptural warning on that. But we need to remember when you are overly obsessed with something, that it becomes dangerous, and then you become a person who lacks self-control. Have anyone heard of something called IAD? No, IAD. It's called Internet Addiction Disorder. Okay, so who has this disorder? Okay, do you know what it means? Okay, it means that you're just overly obsessed with like sitting in front of the computer and playing and surfing the internet, and you spend hours and hours and hours, and then sooner or later you just can't control yourself. When you're lonely, when you have nothing to do, you just sit there and then open a computer and spend hours there. And even if your homework to do, and even if you have housework to do, and even if you have real work to do, then you just don't do it. You just sit there and spend hours and hours doing nothing, okay? And it's called IAD. And so we need to set the limits, and we need to draw the line. I know the line is fine. So what's the difference between having a hobby and being obsessed? Like having obsessive craving for that. So the line is fine, but once you fall into the addiction, then you know it actually, because you just can't control yourself and you lack self-control. And this is something that we need to learn, especially from the book of Proverbs. Sometimes I find it's interesting to read the book of Proverbs, because you just can't find these type of lessons almost from other parts of the scripture. Because most of the New Testament and other parts of scripture talks about relationship between God and man, and how you should love Jesus, know Jesus, and how you should serve in church. But the book of Proverbs is so practical, to the point that it deals with everyday life, including this, like how much alcohol you should drink and whether you should be controlled by like the stuff that you like. And the book of Proverbs just like to address these issues, and it means that God actually is concerned with how you live your life, including how much alcohol you drink and even how many hours you spend in front of the internet. So of course, it didn't say it out loud, okay, explicitly. So let's change the topic a little bit, although it's not totally like another topic, it's still about self. In Proverbs 14:8, the wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways, but the folly of fools is deception, okay? So the first nine means if you are a wise person, then you know what you are doing. And in other words, you know which path you should take and what way you should go. So you need to go on the straight and right path. But if you are a fool, then you not only deceive other people, you are also self-deceptive too. So you are lying to yourself. There's a very ancient Chinese story saying that while there was a downfall of a noble family, and people went to their house and their big houses and stole everything they could. And one stupid person went in, because everything has been stolen by other people, and there's only one thing left there. It's a big bell. Okay, a big bell, okay, made up of very precious material. And the stupid person just couldn't carry the big bell by himself. Then he thought of a good way to do it. So he took a hammer with himself, and he wanted to break the bell, okay, into pieces so that he can carry it like back. But since breaking the bell would cause a lot of noises, so he thought of a very clever way. So he just put his hand over his ears and then tried to crash the bell, okay? And of course, you know he's stupid, because maybe he couldn't hear the big noises, but other people can, okay? And this story later on became a short saying in Chinese. And if you want, the literal translation of that particular saying is covering your ear and stealing the bell. Okay, that's a four-word Chinese saying on that, and it means that a person is self-deceptive. So, and he's so stupid that he is even lying to himself. So in this proverb also, if you want to connect back to what we have learned before, don't lie to yourself. Don't try to rationalize your stupidity. And don't try to deceive yourself saying that, well, I can handle it, okay? I can master over those, for example, alcohol, internet, or even pornography, whatever you want to say, whatever you name it. And it just becomes self-deceptive. Nobody can master over all these addiction. So be honest to yourself. In 26:12, do you see a person wise in their own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for them. Again, similarly, some people will think that even when they are sinning, actually they are clever and wise in their own eyes. And because they think that people cannot, they're not getting caught. And other people are doing the same thing and they have having serious problem, but I am not going to be caught and I am not having any problem. And again, this person is wise in their own eyes, in his own eyes. And in 28:26, those who trust in themselves are fools, but those who walk in wisdom are kept safe. And similarly, people just put their trust in themselves. It means that they trust themselves rather than on wisdom. And the wisdom, of course, came from God, came from the book of Proverbs and also came from God. So they just trust their own judgment. And they don't trust the word of God. And they are having serious problem. So like all these Proverbs, like these three verses, we need to have self-knowledge. We need to be honest to ourselves. Don't deceive ourselves. And let's take a look at the last part. Although it seems like a totally different topic, it's still talk about self, yourself. The greedy stir up conflict, but those who trust in the Lord will prosper. The problem here is greed. And there's another even more elaborated teaching on the topic of greed. The leech has two daughters. Give, give, they cry. So biblical scholars are actually they know a little bit about incest and also living things and stuff like that, including leeches. Okay, and they believe that the two daughters are being the suckers of the leeches. So it's a kind of a more imagery, and also it's trying to paint you a picture like the leech is crying out, I want to have more and more blood, and then it continues. There are three things that are never satisfied, four that never say enough. Okay, the grave, the barren womb, land, which is never satisfied with water, and fire, which never says enough. So it means that the grave craves bodies, dead bodies. The barren womb craves seed. The land craves water to produce crops. And fire craves something that can, like, maybe they're combustibles. And so the fire can continue to burn. So it uses a kind of a more pictorial way to describe how a greedy person looks like, and it just to have more every time, and at every moment he is saying, I don't have enough. And so if you go back to the Ten Commandments, I don't know whether you have ever thought of the Ten Commandments in this way. Of course, in the first three commandments, it talks about the relationship between God and man or human. And then in the fourth commandment, it talks about like the relationship like among family. Okay, and then from the fifth commandments to the ninth commandments, it talks about like how you should behave properly within the community. But in the last commandment, commandment 10, it not only talks about the right relationship between, within the community, it actually deals with yourself. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. I'm sorry, ladies. Moses put wife among all these possessions. Right? You can see, right? It talks about house, and then wife, and then servants, and then animals. So I'm so sorry, because it's due to our cultural differences. Okay, so, but anyways, it, since in earlier commandment, in the sixth commandment, it already talked about adultery. So this commandment does not deal with that particular topic per se, but it deals with greed. It deals with your craving. It deals with your inner self. Not just the things that you shouldn't do, but the things that you shouldn't think in your heart, in your mind. So even as early as the Ten Commandments, it talks about the danger of greed. And again, in the book of Proverbs, it talks about greed too. And you need to control. You need to have a self-discipline. Don't crave for more and more, and says never enough. Like the land without water, like fire, and like a barren room. And let me conclude today's message with a story. The famous Russian novelist Leo Tolstoy once wrote a story about a successful peasant farmer who was not satisfied with his lot. He wanted more of everything. And one day, he received a very good offer. For 1,000 rubles, he could buy all the land he could walk around in a day. The only catch in the deal was he had to be back at his starting point by sundown. Early in the next morning, he started out walking at a very fast pace. And by midday, he was very tired, but he kept going, covering more and more ground. Well into the afternoon, he realized that his greed had taken him far from the starting point. He quickened his pace as the sun began to sink low in the sky. He began to run, knowing that he did not make it back by sundown, the opportunity to become a bigger landholder would be lost. As the sun began to sink below the horizon, he began within sight of the finish line. And then, grasping for breath, his heart bounding, he called upon every bit of strength left in his body and finally struggled across the line just before the sun disappeared. And then he immediately collapsed. And then blood was streaming from his mouth. And in a few minutes, he was dead. And afterwards, his servants dug a grave. It was not much over 6 feet long and 3 feet wide. And the novelist called his story, How Much Land Does a Man Need? Okay, maybe some of you have heard of this story or similar story. But so for more mature brothers and sisters, then we need to remember we just don't need to crave bigger houses, better automobiles. That's not our goal in our life. And for younger people, maybe my suggestion and my advice is don't crave gadgets. Like, you just can't catch up, right? And like every week, there are new gadgets coming out. You just can keep up with that pace and be content, okay? So so if you want to wrap up today's teaching, it talks about self, particular self-control, to have self-knowledge, and also control your greed within you. And all these are as important as other teachings in the Bible, because it's from the Bible. And it means that God actually is concerned with how we live our life, including like what we think and what we crave. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving the book of Proverbs to all of us, so that we know you are concerned with how we live our life on earth. We pray that you will empower us to have self-discipline, to have self-control of alcohol and also other good stuff, including some hobbies. And we pray that you will help us to be honest to ourselves, to have a good self-knowledge, and don't be self-deceptive. And also we pray that you will help us to watch out for our own greed and help us to focus on you instead. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.